its own podcast, and we're actually in a new series, Kingdom Comfort. And so if you missed part one, go back, hear it, and catch up with us. But we're excited about this because one of the greatest hindrances that I found in the Christian walk is that the enemy tricks us and traps us into carrying sorrow or grief. And there's all kind of junk that comes in this journey, and the Bible says that is so. All kind of stuff comes. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are, how mature you are in the Lord, junk comes down the path because we live in a fallen world. There's a real devil walking around that wants to devour you and destroy you. And I want to tell you, we wear this flesh right here. And, you know, with the fallen world, there's all kind of ways for us to experience crisis. And so I'm saying to you, because sometimes there's a mindset out there that if I'm spiritual enough, it won't come. No, Jesus never promises that. What he does promise is that he'll be with you and he'll never forsake you. And that when the junk comes, that he's going to minister to you and offer you strength and hope and love and grace, joy and peace to endure it, but not just to endure it, to suffer with it for the rest of your life, but to endure it to victory, because he's our victory. And it's his desire to always cause you to triumph. And so this is where he's leading you. Now, I want to quickly confess that heaven's definition of victory may not be the local sportscaster's definition of victory. All right? Because when you're going through stuff and you're receiving from the Lord, and you're allowing the Lord to love on you and minister to you, then I want to tell you, heaven is rejoicing over you receiving. And the Lord is using you right where you are. And so the battle's not over till you win. But I'm telling you, you can win along the journey. And so this is very, very important to the kingdom of God. And so crisis comes to everyone, grief comes, sorrow comes. All right, those are real facts in the journey. And 1 Corinthians 13, it's not in your notes, we covered it last week. It is in their notes? It is in your notes. I love this. Okay, take the word temptation there, and you can put sorrow there because it fits. Any sorrow that you experience, there's not any sorrow or grief or anything that people have done to you or what's happened to you, tragedy or crisis. It's not anything that's happened to you, but that it's not common. It is common. We have a tendency to think that each mule thinks that his pack is the heaviest and that no one's ever been this way before and it's the worst situation ever in history. No, that's not true. The Bible says it's common. Now, the enemy will build it up and paint it up to convince you that you're the worst case scenario ever on the face of the earth. That's really not true. So it is common. And the Lord has promised that it will not be beyond you, especially if you lean on him. But it does belong to human experience. This is a part of the journey that happens here. I've been there, done that. You have too. There's stories out here that truly are bigger and deeper than mine. But, you know, it's the real story is not what's happened to you. The real story is what you allow Jesus to do in you and through you after the crisis. And so this journey begins on the day after it. And Jesus wants to shine his life. He's all about restoration and renewal. He's all about healing and hope. But I want to tell you, when I went through a divorce, I experienced the most severe emotional inward hurt that I'd ever experienced in my life. Now, what we tell people when it's testimony time is that, you know, what you've experienced is common. Don't go in great detail or spend a long time on what the enemy did. Hurry up and get to the good part. Hurry up and get to what Jesus has done. That's what brings them glory. That's what encourages the saints. And so if you're giving a testimony, we don't need to hear all the details about the moans and groans and the achy, breaky heart. That's common. It may be a little different in some details for you, but your sickness or your achy, breaky heart is common, but what we need to do is get to the good part, that what is Jesus doing and what has Jesus done. And so, but one of the things that happened when I went through a divorce, it was some severe emotional hurt, but I want to tell you, he was my way of escape, because he is the way of escape, is what the Bible. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And here's the real deal. He taught me a lot about Isaiah 26:3, where it talks about that, hey, as we keep our mind on the Lord, he will give us perfect peace. Now, I want to tell you, I'd seen that scripture before that period of time. I said amen to that scripture before that period of time. But I had the opportunity, as the Holy Spirit worked on me and in me and did overhaul in me, I had opportunity for that scripture to be life to me. And it's one thing for you to see a scripture and say amen. It's another thing for you to allow the Holy Spirit to work that scripture in you, for you to digest it, for you to meditate on it, and for that spiritual food, that spiritual truth, to actually become a part of you. That's what renewing your mind is all about. And so, you know, I would practice that. I would practice putting my mind on the Lord, and I would be at peace. And then a few moments later, or a few minutes later, I would get a phone call, and somebody had this. And the next thing you know, I'm all disturbed again. But you know what? Hey, I had to practice and learn the same way you do, that you know what needs to happen when we find our heart disturbed or our mind disturbed? We need to run back to our shepherd. And we need to practice. You see, spiritual exercise availeth much. Physical exercise, according to the Bible, availeth little. But spiritual exercise availeth much. That's what it says. And so I would need to practice spiritual exercise all over again. And initially, it may have been like 100 times a day to practice receiving his peace by keeping my mind on him. Eventually, it became like 50 times a day, 40 times a day. And then, you know what? It became a way of life. Not just about that subject, but about anything. Anything. There's a whole lot in this world that can bring disturbance to your heart. And disturbance does come. But I want to tell you, you don't have to live there. If you live there, it's wrong. If you live there, you are a target for the enemy. And so I'm just sharing with you that there's a lot of things that have happened in the journey, and we have survived them, and thank God for survival. But there's something greater that the Lord has for you than survival. It's thriving, not surviving. And part of the thriving means that you allow the Lord to come and comfort you. He's our comforter. And it's his desire and God's plan, because he gave you the comforter. That's what the name of the Holy Spirit is, the Comforter. Why would he give us the Comforter? It's because we're going to need a lot of comforting in the journey. And he's right here with us. He's not far away, way up in heaven, hiding from you, waiting till you have a good report card. No, he's available right now to minister his love to you. You know what comfort is? It's the divine love of God loving on you inside where no man can touch. And it is a comforting love that absolutely heals you. Not that you can ever forget the memory of the event. The human mind will remember that. But I'm sharing with you, there's such a level of comfort of the love of the Lord that heals you to the place that you don't have to relive it. Do you know what I'm saying? You don't have to live on a certain calendar date every year the sorrow and the grief of a tragedy that took place in your life. You don't have to live there. This is the beauty of the Lord. And when I went through, when I was preaching crusades in Central America and caught dengue fever, I like to died from it. I'm telling you, the Lord rescued my life. And you know, it wasn't an immediate healing. It was a process that took place. But I'm here to share with you that when I saw in the scripture, Romans 8, where that he gives life to our mortal body, even though I had read through that scripture a number of times before, it's like I had never seen it. And here I am in need and in pain and agony, anxiety. I think it's Romans 8:11. And he says, I will give life to your mortal body. Now, I want to tell you, His life in your body is refreshing, it's restoring, and it's healing. I want to tell you, the life of Jesus was so powerful that people couldn't be sick in His presence. People couldn't die in His presence. He never attended a funeral. He interrupted some, but He never attended one. And so I'm telling you about the resurrection life of Jesus that the Bible says is inside of us. And so I want to tell you, it can be a process, but Jesus is worth it and you're worth it. To practice receiving the healing love of the Lord in your life. And so He loves to do that. I think it's Romans 8:11, life in our body. Romans 8:10 is a very important part of practicing receiving the life in your mortal body. And it talks about that He is your righteousness. And that righteousness, it says there that righteousness is not by doing, it's about being. Righteousness is a state of being, not a state of doing. And so you don't earn your healing. You don't earn your forgiveness. In the same way that you receive Christ Jesus the Lord is the way that we're to walk in Him in this journey. It's that same simple childlike faith. And so you know as well as I do that it's possible to magnify your sorrow to the place that we believe our hurt is worse than anyone else's. But I'm announcing to you, there may be sorrow in you and you not recognize it. Because it tends to be baggage that's hidden in a closet and the door's closed and we don't want to visit there. We don't want anyone else to visit there. We want to hide it. But if you hide it, you won't be healed about it. You've got to bring it to the Lord. And allow the Lord to open up that closet and bring His light into that dark closet and show you that baggage of sorrow that you may be denying that's even there and remove it where you give it to Him and He gives in exchange. He takes your sorrow and He ministers to you peace and love and joy. That's a great deal. That's the gospel. It's so precious and so good. But no sorrow that we've experienced is more than common. And so it's something that God can do, is what that means. He's done it before, He's doing it around the world, and He'll do it for you. He's no respecters of person. That's a good time to say amen. Because that means that He qualified you to receive. God will bring help. Your sorrow is not greater than you can bear. With Jesus, you will overcome. Without Him, you'll be miserable till you go to heaven. Okay. Let me give you a word of hope on this. What Jesus has done for you is greater than what people have done to you. What Jesus has done for you is greater than what the enemy has done to you. What Jesus has done for you is greater than any sickness or disease or struggle you may have emotionally. Amen, Brother Tim. That's good preaching. Okay, thank you for saying that. Here we go, Psalm 46:1. Are you ready? God is our refuge. Now, just a few weeks ago, very recently, we had tornadoes come through the Dallas area. 9 of them, if I'm not mistaken. And it's so amazing, you know, when I preach in different parts of the country, they want to know about tornadoes, especially they live in a place where there's not any. And, you know, so I share with them, but it's so amazing how Texans can, a tornado can come and demolish one block and just the next street over, nothing's even touched, seem like, except for some limbs being down. And so it's so amazing. But what's beautiful that I brag on Texans about is how that when a tornado hits, people come together, communities come together, and people that may not even know each other come together to help. And so it's beautiful to see that in action. But it's also quite amazing that sometimes they'll even show on the news a house that's completely torn apart. And there's this one little room that was sitting in the garage. And it's called a safe room. And it's actually rooms that are built. And I think folk out of Lubbock, I think, actually started this, Texas Tech. But there's actually rooms that they'll come in and put in a little safe house in your garage, bolt it through the concrete, and you can go and hide out in that safe place, and it's supposed to protect you from an E5 tornado, where that means that everything is taken away and gone away, and there's the little safe room with you in it. God is your safe room. I don't care what title they put on it. I don't care what name the enemy puts on it. I don't care what people say about it. God is your refuge. It means He's your safe room. And it also says here, Psalm 46:1, that God is your strength. Now, there's no doubt that when you're going through junk and when you're going through a battle, one of the greatest tendencies is to get so weak that you hear this in your voice, I just want to quit. I just want to quit. I just want to quit. Well, the Bible says the complete opposite of that. Matter of fact, it says to be of good cheer. That's what Jesus said. Be of good cheer. You say, well, Jesus, that's not being very sensitive to what I'm going through. No, no. He's speaking spiritual truth that'll set you free. All right? Not to be in sorrow, not to be grieving, not to be in sadness, even though they come. This is a part of that journey. We're not to stay there or park there. As soon as you recognize it, don't let your heart be troubled. And we're supposed to receive from Him relief and release. But one of the neat things about the Lord is that He will give you strength in your weakness. When you're weak and you recognize weakness, get excited because the Lord's showing up on the scene. But don't hold on to it to yourself. One of the worst things a Christian can do is do this. I got this. Lord, I'll handle this one. Or Lord, it's just no use. I'm just at the place of quitting. Well, the Bible says don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't quit. If you don't quit, you're going to win. Let me announce to you, the battle's not over till you win. Jesus will always lead us into triumph. And so what happens when you get weak, get excited, because the Lord's showing up on the scene, because you turn to the Lord and say, Lord, weakness. And the Lord says, strength. It's exchange. Somebody say exchange. You see, that's spiritual life. Here we are living in the visible, but all that strength is right there in the invisible. And guess what? He's also made that deposit of strength inside of us because the real Jesus lives inside of us. He's not far away. I mean, it's from here to here. Just about a foot, 12 inches. Jesus is in there. I don't know how to define that or explain it, but that's what the Bible says. You have a spirit, and He's right there, full measure. In your spirit, you have the full measure of God, and you can receive from God. And so when you get weak, He'll make you strong. I'll never forget years ago, I'd been preaching out of the country. I come in the country, and I was not wise. I confess to you, I was not wise. The beautiful blonde was not in charge of my schedule. And so what happened, I got back from out of the country, my home church on that, got back on Saturday night, was at my home church and ministered on Sunday morning, and then left that afternoon to go preach a week revival in the Houston area. And on Friday night, when I got through with the revival, I was supposed to do a youth staff retreat starting on Saturday, I thought, at Lake Whitney. Well, they informed me, no, we're starting when you get here. On Friday night, I said, I can't get there till about midnight. I'm coming from Houston. We'll start at midnight. And so I got there at midnight. Now look, on the way from Houston to Lake Whitney to this retreat, I'm crying, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm tired. For those of you around the world, that means tired in Texan. I'm tired. I'm so tired. Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, I just can't do this. I'm so tired. And the Lord whispered to me, I'm not. Now, Corey, you know where I'm from down in East Texas, so he has to talk to me that plain and that simple. But when he told me, I'm not tired. I melted in the car and just laid all my weakness out to Him. All the tiredness out to Him. Laid Him at His feet. And before I arrived at Lake Whitney, I was refreshed. I was renewed. I was fired up and good to go. And so I'll never forget getting out of the car and greeting the staff and the hugging and everything that took place. And they said, I bet you wore out. I said, no, I've had energy bars that you know not of. Look at the Lord in Psalm 46:1. He's a very present help. He's a very well-proved help in trouble. I want to announce to you the testimony of the saints for centuries. The testimony of the Word of God, where God cannot lie, says that He's a faithful and well-proven help in time of trouble. And what He's done for centuries, for countless numbers of saints, what He says in the Word of God that He cannot lie, He'll do for you. You say, well, Brother Tim, I'm just not worthy. None of us are. None of us ever will be. Jesus qualified us on the cross, and He said, hey, it's no longer, this is a new covenant. It's not based on what you do, it's based on what I did. Now that's a good news. And so we get to receive freely. And so that's the beauty of the Lord. He's well proven. Now I want to tell you, He's very present. There was a period of time back in the early 2000, I'm going to say, I don't remember, or middle 2000, that I was having trouble. I got up one morning to spend time with the Lord, and I was having trouble with my heart. Heart was racing, blood pressure was out of sight. I was just feeling so bad. And I had this thought, maybe I should go see Dr. Wong, my local doctor there. He loves the Lord there in Irving. And so I just kind of walked in, and I get a lot of favor there. Okay, they give a lot of favor because I'm a full-timer in the Lord. And He loves the Lord. So when I walked in, He took one look and He said, come right on back. And I walked back there and He said, what's up? And I said, Doc, I ain't feeling too good today. They checked me out a number of ways. And He said, lay down on that bed. I'm calling an ambulance right now. He said, you're in bad trouble. I said, Doc, I don't want no ambulance ride. I've never done that. I drove here. I'll drive there. He said, this is the first time. He's so precious. But he looked me straight in the eye and he said, no, you're not. He said, you lay down on that bed. He said, if you get in that truck and croak out, stroke out between here and the hospital, I ain't living with that. You lay down there and do what I say. I said, yes, sir. So I'm laying there on the bed. He said, I'm turning out these lights. I'm leaving a nurse in here. I'm turning out these lights. He said, don't move. Don't speak. Just lay right there. Don't get up. Okay, yes, sir. And so in just a few minutes later, I heard an ambulance in the background. I had developed this habit over the years before then that whenever I would hear an ambulance, I'd start praying for that person. And I don't even know where that came from. Well, just say it's from the Lord. And so I began to pray. I heard an ambulance and I began to pray for that person. Said, Lord, bless that person. Lord, help them. Lord, touch that person. I speak healing and health on that person. It's getting closer and closer. And Lord, touch it. Lord, this one's coming. It must be close by. I had no awareness. It was for me. And so the next thing I know, they come in. Okay, let me tell you something. It took a number of minutes, even though Dr. Wong called them immediately, it took a number of minutes for the ambulance to get there. And it took a number of minutes when the ride in the ambulance from there to Baylor and Irving. Now, I want to tell you, in a number of minutes, a lot of things can go wrong. Matter of fact, they had to hit me with nitroglycerin between his office and the hospital. There's a lot of things that can go wrong in a few minutes. I'm announcing to you, there is no such thing as a few minutes with Jesus. He's very present. He's very present. He's there. He's there. He's there. You don't have to cry loud. You don't have to cry hard. You don't have to pray harder. He's already there. The price has been paid for Him to be a very present help in time of your trouble. Is that good news? Now, what we're to do is to turn to Him. There's two things that happen, basically, to a believer when crisis comes. They either run to Jesus or they run from Jesus. They either look to Jesus and say this big, spiritual, deeply theological prayer, help! And heaven loves to hear that. Or they tell the Lord, like I've already told you, I got this. I'll handle this. Me and the doctor will do this one. And they turn away from Him. It's okay to depend on Jesus and trust in Jesus and go to the doctor. But let's be sure, who are you trusting in? When crisis comes, and it comes, When sorrow shows up, and it shows up, how are you going to respond? Are you going to turn to Jesus? Or are you going to embrace something called self-pity? Because when you embrace self-pity, you are inviting a multitude of troubles to line up on your path. That's a sermon in this series that I'm not going to deal with today. But that's coming because it's very important. But he's a very present help and comfort to you. And all the saints said, tragedy, sorrow, hurt comes. But the Bible tells us hard things come. But one of the most important things that we're to do is to not be isolated. Do not be isolated. There's a tendency to crawl into a cave and stay there. It's a trick from the enemy. It's a lie. It's deceiving. It's wrong to go hide in the cave. Don't be isolated. To just give you a simple picture, and I won't turn to it, the gasoline, I'm not saying that right, I don't think. But the demoniac that Jesus ministered to was isolated from everybody. Matter of fact, he lived out in the graveyard. So not only was he isolated, that ought to tell you, darkness wants to isolate you. I want to tell you, the Bible never says anywhere, it's just you and Jesus got your own thing going. Bible does, that's not a scripture. As a matter of fact, Bible promotes that we need one another. And we're to have fellowship and communication and connection with one another. You need each other. We need each other in the Lord. But the very important thing is don't isolate yourself. The enemy wants to tell you that. You have all the feelings. I don't want to be around people. I don't want to hear what they got to say. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. And, I'm embarrassed that I even have a problem and I don't want people to know. No, no, no. That's deception. I'm going to say it to you like I'm probably jumping ahead. But openness before man shows genuineness before God. Boy, that's good. And so it's important for us to be honest and to be open before God and man. Okay. That's the way we receive. That's called humbling yourself. And so the opposite of that is pride. Okay. Amen, Brother Tim. That's right. So don't be isolated. And the other thing that you think about the demoniac, he was associated with death. He surrounded himself with death. And I want to tell you, there are people walking the streets and in the marketplace and in schools that dress to associate with death. Makeup, hair, dress, associate with death. I want to tell you, that's not life. To be isolated is not life. To associate with death is not life. And the demoniac was carving himself. He was cutting himself. Now, I know there's different reasons people do that, but let's be honest, that's not life. That's associated with darkness. And so I want to tell you, any of those symptoms, is nobody's judging you, throwing bricks at you. I want to tell you, the Bible says that we're to look at people that are struggling just like each other, that you know what, we look at them like a kid fell into a ditch. And so we're to have compassion. But I want to tell you, let's be honest about it. Don't defend it. It's not life, it's death. And so it's very, very important that we're not isolated. And so you're not the only one. We've covered that. God's Word will work for you. Amen, Brother Tim. I'm preaching faster. Y'all going to have to witness a little faster. Okay. But don't push people away that are reaching out to you. God sent them. And if you're pushing them away, you're pushing Him away. Man, I'm telling you, Deep East Texas understands that. I love East Texas, if you're listening. But I'm just telling you, that is just simple country wisdom. But it's in the Bible. In sorrow, what you do is humble yourself. And the Bible says show yourself friendly. It means you let the wall down. I want to announce to you, you're not going to let the wall down to let people in if you don't get the roof off. And so there can't be a roof between you and the Lord. If there's a roof between you and the Lord, there will be walls up between you and man. You can't let the walls down between you and man without getting the roof off. And so this is very, very important. Is that too much? Am I preaching too fast? Are you wanting this to be a long series? Okay, so be sure you're on board here. But see, it's to humble yourself, to show yourself friendly and admit you have a need. And I hate this part, but I have to say it because of human race, humankind. And this, not only with worldly people, but so-called Christian people that are walking in the flesh, there are people that will take advantage of you when you're down. I don't like that. I don't even want to say that. But we have to instruct people sometime when we're working with people that, you know what, you need to draw a boundary between you and this other person, because you need to protect what God's doing. And, you know, sometimes, well, here's the deal. You need wisdom from God, and sometimes you're in such a hole, such a pit, that you're not able to really hear that. But what actually is happening is that you need discernment and wisdom from God, or wisdom from people that love you. Is this person in your life, are they battering you or building you? Are they a taker or a giver? Because I want to tell you, when you're in the place where you're in restoration and renewal, you don't need any more ticks on the hound dog. Do you understand? You don't need people draining life from you when you're trying to be restored and recovered. Is that too plain? We are in Texas, aren't we? I'm just trying to help you. Is the person in your life, are they building you or battering you? And if they're battering you, there may come a time in your life where you can minister to them. But let me promise you something. The Lord can minister to them, and He's got plenty of ministers beside you. You're not the only one. There's plenty of people that can minister life to them. But I want to tell you, the greatest thing that you need is restoration, and to surround yourself with people that build your life and not take from your life. Well, it's not fun to draw a boundary. Sometimes we have to tell people, because some people will kick you while you're down. Some people will cheer for your failure. But be advised, God will, and God has sent people with His comfort to help you. And He delights in rescuing your heart personally. He loves to do this personally. And so you must connect with the Lord, your shepherd, personally. This is His desire, because He wants to help you personally. But He will also send you Jesus with skin on. That's what the family of God is all about. I'm telling you, Cedric has been through the stuff. And he had to come to a place where he really, between him and the Lord, he needed to receive from the Lord. And he did. I'm telling you, I saw it. There's such a transformation in his life since January. And I want to tell you, during that process, and it was a process, it was a journey. A lot of tough things we could talk about. But I want to tell you, he kept seeking, he kept asking, and he kept knocking. He kept crying out to the Lord. And I want to tell you, the Lord touched him, and the Lord ministered to him on the inside where I couldn't. But one of the things that he did is that he kept allowing me and some other people to speak into his life. And you have to humble yourself to do that. Pride would say, well, I don't want that. Or I don't want to admit I need it. Okay, but this is very important. Not only did he need Jesus personally in his life to receive, but he also needed some Jesus with skin on. Right here. Loving on him, listening to him. Having you over to the house and hanging where there's life and joy and peace and hope. Somebody speaking hope. I need it too. You need it too. Isaiah 53:4. Oh, I've got so much time. We're going to have fun. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne our griefs. This is talking about Jesus. Somebody say surely. He has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows. Does somebody see that? That ought to be in a series that's talking about kingdom comfort. He carried our sorrows and our pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly and considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. We didn't understand what it was about. We didn't even recognize it. We didn't even respect it. But what this is saying is that Jesus, before you were even born, took all of your sorrows and put on himself. All your griefs. Be a lot of griefs in this journey. A lot of sorrows in this journey. But Jesus, ahead of time, took them upon himself. Now, when it says he carried away, you've got to see. This is what we try to show you in communion. But you've got to practice seeing that. That Jesus taking your junk, that sorrow, that grieving, that hurting, achy, breaky heart, and taking it and carrying it away. And what does he bring back? He brings back life to you. joy and peace and love. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy, pity, and mercy, and the God who is the source. This is so good. Our God, who is the source of every comfort. Big ones, little ones, those that people don't understand, those that you can't even describe. He's the source of every comfort, every consolation, every encouragement. Because what He wants to do is not just take it, but He wants to replace it with Himself. That's our Jesus. He comforts, look at verse 4, who comforts, consoles, and encourages us in every trouble. Oh, saints, let's say that together. Every trouble, calamity, and affliction, so that we may also, see, it's not, I want to tell you, He loves you so much, He wants to minister to you personally, and He wants to restore you, but guess what? This is kingdom. It's not just for you. He wants to redeem what you've been through. It's like T. Austin Sparks, one of my favorite ones I've ever studied after. T. Austin Sparks would say it like this: you gain Christ through it, so you can share Christ after it. Now, that's powerful. Oh, that's so good. But that's the purpose. Look, God wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. He wants to walk you and endure you through this, to come out on the victory side of it. But I want to tell you, in the very process, He wants to use you to share His same comfort, His same consolation, His same encouragement that He ministered to you. He wants you to be, here it is, Jesus with skin on, to go, and that He's going to love on others personally, and He's going to love on them with the same love, same comfort, same encouragement, hey, through you to others. That's the purpose of the kingdom. Yes, it's for you, but it's not just for you. It's for others. Do you see it? Hey, look, there's no greater joy than to be a part of what God's doing in other people's lives. This is such a great joy, and He wants that. God's faithful and He's present. We got it? He will not allow you to suffer more than you can bear. That's what the Bible says. And so it doesn't matter how dark it is, Jesus is light, and He wants to bring that light. I've shared with you two different times in my life, I didn't think I was going to make it. And you know, you probably have said this too, because I said it, Lord, you think way too much of me. I ain't going to make it. But let me announce something to you. Jesus knows you better than you do. And He's promised that it won't be too much. Jesus is the way. Make Him your way of escape. He's promised to never leave me. There's two different times I've prayed to die, and those were the times I talked to you about earlier in the meeting. And so I understand we can get there. One was pain in the body, one was pain in the soul, but I want to tell you, you allow Jesus to be your personal way of escape, then I want to tell you, He won't leave you there. He'll take you out of the pit. And the best place, I've got to say this again, I think I said it last week, let me say it again. The best place to help other people out of the pit is for you to be out of the pit and helping others. Now, you don't have to wait till you get there to help people. You just have to be a step ahead to help people along. But I want to tell you, the best influential position to help people out of the pit is to be able to say, Jesus rescued me out of the pit. And so let's go there. But hey, through all the sorrow, through the pain, those tragic events that I've been, I want to tell you, He brought me, and it's the fellowship of His suffering. It's hard to explain that to people. But when you're leaning and depending and receiving from Him, it's the exchange. He brings such joy. He brings such peace. He brings such a personal, intimate knowing of Him that you never had before. It's deeper. I mean, to tell you, it's more relevant. I want to tell you, it's very, very practical. And he's very, very personal, and he wants to be more personal with you. He does. And he doesn't send evil. I'm not saying God sent it. Matter of fact, I'm going to do a sermon on that all by itself. God's not sending it, but he will redeem it. He'll take what the enemy meant for evil. He'll take what people meant for evil. He'll take what the fallen world meant for evil to destroy you, and he will work it out for your good and his glory. That's our God. And so you've got that to look forward to. He will redeem it. The Lord will rescue you. So, hey, not only did I personally receive intimate knowledge of him and personal experiences with him, but I want to tell you, the Lord used me to bless others because of that journey. Same for you. You don't have to be a pastor for that to happen, because that's his purpose for you, is to bring him honor and glory. And he receives that honor and glory. Kingdom love, kingdom comfort. He wants to use you to touch many. His help is supernatural. It's not anything a psychiatrist, psychologist can explain. It's not anything a counselor can explain. It's something God does. It's supernatural. It may not be immediate. It may be. But there may be some breakthroughs along the journey. But what he does is supernatural. And all I can say to you is, like the man said in the Bible, I once was blind, but now I see. And that's a great testimony, the honor and glory of God. So you may be weeping right now. It may even be for a season. It could be for a night. But joy is coming. And so that's what we have to look forward to. Okay, I'm going to share. I want to share. I'm going to wait. Oh, you got to hear this. Okay. I'd love to keep you for 30 more minutes. But you go and tell people, Pastor Tim is sensitive to the Spirit of God, and he's sensitive to us too.